We are on. We are live.
Oh, cool.
Welcome to the Cognitive Rampage podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. We are live on Facebook. We've been streaming all podcasts that we do live inside the cave live on Facebook. So welcome everybody on Facebook. We will be editing this later, but a couple things to tell you about. Drink my goatee, as always. Yeah, you see Dr. Carter's drinking the goatee already. For those of you watching on YouTube, my goatee, go to drinkmycoatee.com. Sebastian, Alfred, the whole group down there. I love you guys. Thanks for supporting what we do. Second off, Dollar Mental Health Club. It will be out probably in March. We are hiring mental trainers right now. Just go to dollarmentalhealthclub.com, submit your resume there, and we'll reach out to you. We are trying to change the paradigm of mental health. It's a new thing. It's mental training, not therapy and not counseling. Last but not least, the second edition of the Cognitive Rampage will be out in about 30 days. I'm waiting on a couple things. The book's pretty much done, but I may have a well-known author that may be helping me out and doing a little endorsing and all, but it's got to pass some serious scrutiny first. So I told him, go ahead, let's put it through the scrutiny. I believe the second edition definitely would stand up to scrutiny of just about anybody. So look for that book. And also, if you bought the first edition, please, please, please email me picture proof at cognitiverampagepodcast@gmail.com, and I will email you a free electronic copy version of the second edition. All right. As you already mentioned, my guest today, Dr. Greg Carter.
Hello, how are you?
I was going to give a long intro. We talked at Red Carpet Monday, which is a wonderful event
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
Not too long ago, but what's up?
Well,
what do you do?
First of all, I want to thank you, Adam, for allowing me to come on your show. It's an incredible honor, and I'm very humbled to be invited.
That's kind of you.
So many quality people on your show, and I think that your mission is an important mission because mental health and new paradigms in mental health is exactly what the 21st century needs. And when you stop and really think about what is the impetus, what is the genesis of improving yourself, it really starts with you, right? It starts with your ideas. And for those people who are going through life with a frame of reference or a paradigm that is defeatist in nature, they won't even take the first step to improve their situation. What we do at Revolution Medical Health is we take people who are already existing in a stable health condition. So we are an anti-aging clinic and we do concierge medicine. So for those people wanting to optimize your health, utilizing strategies like bioidentical hormone replacement, testosterone replacement therapy, stem cells, which we inject into intra-articular spaces and into other connective tissue we can talk about in a minute. In the last 18 months, on over 100 patients, ages 50 and older, who are athletic with muscle, ligament, and tendon tears of greater than 2 decades, we have, with ultrasound guidance and stem cell or new applications in stem cell therapy, gotten 100% resolution.
Holy shit.
That, my friend, is the 21st century. Now, we knew it was going to be good. I expected good results, but it's really been nothing short of miraculous. I'd love to take the credit for it, but really, it is the scientist and the science of the 21st century that allows us to utilize new dimensions in stem cell therapy to create such incredible results. For myself, I think bioidentical hormone replacement, it's critical because we learn about the body in a fractionated way, the cardiovascular system, the neuro system, the respiratory system, and et cetera. So we compartmentalize our thinking when really the body actually is an orchestra operating in a holistic fashion. So it's almost impossible, if not really impossible, to treat one system without affecting all of the other ones. So we're many things as humans. But one of the things that we are is we're a bag of hormones. And it's just true.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you stop and really think about it, what is age really? Age is much more than a measure of just the passage of time. Age is a measure of the velocity of the disease, degradation, and dysfunction that people all over the world have been led to believe that this is just an artifact of your getting older. the injuries, the loss of function, the pain, the low energy. You know, the fact of the matter is when we decoded the human genome in 1998, we discovered a couple of really interesting things. One of them is that the human organism is designed to live about 148 years. Well, if that's true, and middle age is supposed to be in the mid-70s, why is everybody croaking around the 70s? And the reason is multifidus. I know you had Dr. Mike Van Thielen on your show earlier, and Dr. Mike will say that all disease begins and ends with toxemia. And to a large degree, I kind of agree with that guy, because we are exposed to things in the 21st century and back in the dark ages of the 20th century that did not belong in the human organism. And these things, like, you know, corn chips, which I love, they just don't belong in us. There is no, you know, Doritos plant. There is no Mueller's pasta tree. There's no Mountain Dew stream. And I've been looking for that one.
Yeah.
Because these things are not inherent to the human organism, then this very efficient, this incredibly complex biological machine that we call our body, that we take for granted, which has this innate intelligence to heal us, can't deal with the exposures to these artificial chemicals and these non-foods that have entered into our food supply. And so toxins will accumulate because our excretory systems, like our respiratory system, our sweat glands, our, you know, just for like, you've got adults on your show, you know, just having to pee and poop.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Oh, you can say fuck and all that. Okay. It's all right. Yeah, you're in a good place.
All of that is just impaired, orders of magnitude greater than we would anticipate. Wow. The fact of the matter is our bodies do not realize that we are not traipsing barefoot along the savanna, chasing woolly mammoths and running away from saber-toothed tigers. Our bodies have no idea that we exist in this utopia of plumbing and climate control, right? So it is geared to be functioning in this pristine, raw, organic food with a water buffalo you and I just took down yesterday.
Oh, man.
Type of thing. So, you know, unfortunately, we have a food supply. It's necessary to have a food supply like this that is a double-edged sword, Adam. Our double-edged sword is we have 350 million people in the United States. Many people say that it's about 250 million more people than we are legitimately able to house. And so we have to come up with new and innovative ways to keep everyone from starving. Factory farming, genetic modification, utilization of pesticides, antibiotics, growth hormones. These are the strategies we came up with. Now, you can talk to any weeds, beads, and seeds, conspiracy theorists who will tell you that these things were directly implanted into the food supply to knock the population off. I kind of disagree with that. I actually think that if you have 350 million people, you have a population of this size and this density that is growing at a velocity greater than we really have in our infrastructure the ability to keep up with, then if we don't put antibiotics in the food and we feed all these people, we're going to create the zombie apocalypse of the 21st century. You know, botulism toxin or some other modern horror will escape into the population. Knowing that there is growth hormone in the food, knowing that there are antibiotics in the food, knowing that there is pesticides in the food, living in a civilized society, having this new thing called Google, right, which I love, you can find ways and mechanisms to insulate yourself from the impact of the needed and necessary mechanisms that modern man has had to deploy to keep all of us alive. So, as an example, we know that if we feed antibiotics to an animal, the animal's going to get fat. Well, farming loves that, right? Mm-hmm. The antibiotics, or many of these antibiotics, are not destroyed in the cooking process. The molecules are not denatured. And so those antibiotics pass on to us. And so we get exposed to broad-spectrum antibiotics all the time. And that has secondary and tertiary side effects that you'd like to avoid or at least deal with. But one of them is that if you give an animal antibiotics and you know it gets fat, guess what happens to you?
So do you.
Now, The mechanism of action for why people get fat secondary to prolonged antibiotic exposure wasn't really greatly understood, but a lot of very innovative physicians and neuroscientists have started to come up with an answer. And the finger seems to be pointing at the fact that when you are exposed to antibiotics, not just the ciprofloxacin that your doctor gave you because you needed it, right? But because, you know, XYZ chicken company put it in their food supply, you're destroying your microbiome. And what is that really? So we're looking at Myco tea here, the nectar of the gods, and it's a probiotic drink. Probiotics are those bacteria that are supposed to exist within us synergistically to provide benefit to us. And as an example, many, many credible, sophisticated publications and scientists will suggest to you that the human organism, the Adam Lowry DNA organism and the Greg Carter DNA organism, is comprised of about 10 trillion cells. Okay, 10 trillion Adam DNA cells, Greg DNA cells, right? The microbiome, by contrast, the probiotics, the friendly bugs, right, are an order of magnitude greater than you. They're 100 trillion. So if you're looking at just sheer numbers, we're only 10% human if we're functioning optimally, right? Mm. We're 90% these beneficial synergistic passengers, probiotics like what's found in Myco tea, okay? So what is the reason for these probiotics? Well, we discover them, you know, their existence. We in the 20th century, around the 70s, we weren't really sure what they were for. We thought maybe they help us poop, and we were right. In the 80s, it was theorized that maybe probiotics are important for your immune system function and that the byproducts that these probiotics create help to modulate immunity. And towards the 90s, we discover we're right. Around the end of the 90s, we start thinking, well, maybe, just maybe, probiotics have something to do with brain function. And what we find out in the 21st century is that many studies, many publications, much in the peer-reviewed literature would suggest that probiotics, your optimally functioning microbiome, is itself responsible for up to 80% of your neurotransmitter function. Now, what am I talking about there? Serotonin, the happy chemical, dopamine, the pleasure chemical, oxytocin, acetylcholine. Now, just imagine that. You're a guy who went to school and in the 1970s when Marcus Welby was still a thing, right? The latest, greatest intervention is Prozac, right? And a needed, necessary drug when properly and clinically indicated. Is it always given out properly and clinically? Some of us may argue not. Some of us might argue that it's dispensed like M&Ms. But selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, like all medications, when given within the paradigm of accepted standard of care processes, probably have legitimate uses, okay? But what is that thing really doing? A selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor is preventing your body from reuptaking serotonin, the happy chemical, so that you can remain happy. But these molecules are fragile, they're consumable fuels, and they get banged around inside the body, and they degrade, and people over long-term use have been shown to develop depression, right? Mm-hmm. Now just imagine if you knew that 80% of your serotonin production has been destroyed because you were addicted to Tyson chicken, right? Or you had chronic asthma as a kid and you were always getting antibiotics, or for whatever reason. These antibiotics are like United States Marines, which I am. They go in and they kill everything. They let God sort it out, okay? So the good, the bad, and the ugly, they're reaping a swath of destruction. You take an antibiotic, oftentimes you feel much better. The cough, cold, and flu goes away. We have poor understanding of what the probiotics and the microbiome are for. Nobody gives a damn. Not once in the history of the 20th century did anyone in my family, all of whom are doctors or nurses in medicine, say to me, by the way, Greg, you should take some probiotics after this Z-Pak, right? So you take these antibiotics, you're exposed to further antibiotics in the food supply so that we don't kill everyone, right? And your microbiome's destroyed, and now you don't create 80% of your serotonin. 80%. Now, what if, I'm not saying this is exactly it, but certainly the studies would suggest that when you supplement your diet with something like Myco tea or broad spectrum probiotics, you're going to get those machines necessary to create serotonin, to create your dopamine at levels almost an order of magnitude greater than your own biology can do on its own. These are kind of newer understandings. If you read Dr. Neil Perlmutter, who wrote Brain Brain, he has a follow-up book called Mind Power, which very eloquently elucidates the role of probiotics in the gut and in the body. He's, I believe, a third-generation neurologist, so he's knee-deep in strict conventional allopathic medicine, and even an icon in a super subspecialty like neurology is espousing the utilization of, hey, maybe you might want to go to your vitamin shop and check out some probiotics, right? So health is many things, right? But anti-aging or rejuvenative medicine is all of those things taken to a greater level. Now, if you believe this new thing called science, as I do, there are actually very credible people who believe that if you can make it to 2045, life expectancy will escape at a velocity of 1 year for every year of life, which is, as you know, Adam, it's de facto immortality.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about it a few times on the podcast, the Immortalist documentary by Aubrey de Grey.
Yeah, absolutely. So Aubrey de Grey, he's at the tip of the spear. Ray Kurzweil, he's at the tip of the spear. Peter Diamandis of the X Prize.
The SENS Foundation?
The X Prize and SENS. SENS is Aubrey de Grey. X Prize is Peter Diamandis. Ray Kurzweil and Peter Diamandis joined forces and created something called Singularity University.
Right.
Then they were picked up by Larry Page and Sergey Brin at Google. Ray Kurzweil, Dr. Ray Kurzweil, he's called the sleeping genius in America. He's responsible for probably most of the audio video production in America, secondary to the 80s. You could see like Kurzweil keyboards and stuff like that. He's responsible for the first text to speech recognition device. He's responsible for so many of the things that we use. The programming language that Siri is built on, Kurzweil invented that. So,
and how many, all right, I want whatever he's eating.
Yeah.
Whatever he's eating, whatever he's ingesting, I'm there.
He is actually a great guy to follow. Dr. de Grey, fantastic guy, knows a lot, a little boring, a little boring to watch, and he looks weird with his big long beard. He looks like he belongs on Duck Dynasty. You wouldn't think that, wow, this is a PhD level scientist, right?
Right. I watched him in that documentary. When he starts drinking,
yeah,
he actually gets smarter, I think. They were actually on that documentary talking how they sat down to drink beers and there were a bunch of smart minds at the table and they were pounding them. And the one guy they're interviewing going, well, I was keeping up with him drinking, but then he started talking and we couldn't keep up with him mentally. He was dropping new theories, new things we hadn't heard of. And I was like, wow, he's an odd fellow, but somebody that's very captivating.
He's somebody to watch, and you can watch him for free in the 21st century on YouTube. And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I can tell you that Dr. Kurzweil has been making forward-thinking predictions since 1986. All of his predictions, which are information technology-based, this isn't like Nostradamus, look into my crystal ball prediction. These are like mathematically equation-based predictions about the advancements in information technology and what's feasible. Every single prediction that Kurzweil's made, of the 100% predictions he's made, I should say, 87% have fallen on the year of the prediction. 87%. I mean, that's some pretty good math, brother.
I mean, if you're batting 300 in MLB, you're one of the best ever at the end of your career if you're doing well. I mean, and he's batting 850 almost. That's ridiculous.
He's just an incredible guy. I can tell you that if you watch Westworld, if you watch Human 2.0, I think it is, or if you watch sci-fi, if you watch the movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, all of this artificial intelligence stuff that's come out is all based on the works of Dr. Ray Kurzweil. His latest book, The Mind and How to Make One, is a good read if you're into like science. Singularity is Near is a great book to read. Some of his earlier work, The Age of Intelligent Machines and The Age of Spiritual Machines, are almost not relevant now because technology has surpassed what he had predicted when he first wrote those books. What's really interesting, Adam, is that when you look at the SENS Foundation and Dr. Aubrey de Grey, when you look at Dr. Ray Kurzweil, when you look at how Google has invested $487 million into immortality by 2045, I mean, Those kids know what they're talking about over there, okay? This is serious business, all right? So about 3 or 4 bridges, depending on who you talk to, have been elucidated to radical life extension and radical life expansion by 2045. Bridge number one are things that you yourself can control. Things like change your lifestyle, right? Eat differently, drink differently, less small batch bourbon, Greg. Smoke less cigars, get more sleep, work out, right? Bridge number two is get proper medical care when it's needed. If I get hit by a car, please don't call a shaman, call an ambulance, right?
Yeah.
If you need surgery and you know you've looked at all of your options, you need surgery, get the damn surgery. What's kind of ignored in that bridge two is when you need supplements like probiotics, like amino acids for proper cognitive function, etc., take those supplements, okay? Now, as far as human history has got, Adam, that's pretty much as far as we've got. But hold the phone. We live in the miracle of the 21st century. And in the 21st century, we've entered into Bridge 3, which is the merging of our biology with our technology at the cellular level. And what does that look like? So let's take a 7-year-old girl, right? Doing what 7-year-old girls do, climbing a tree. She falls out of the tree, bangs her head, take her to the ER. ER doctor saves her life, but tragedy, she's deaf, right? What could we do about that 2 decades ago? Nothing. Here, let me teach you sign language, and I'm so sorry. Today, we can give that 7-year-old kid the Steve Austin and the $6 million man bionic frickin' ear called a cochlear implant. Now, while it's true, that cochlear implant's still visible. It's on the outside of that kid's head and part on the inside of the kid's head. The kid can hear, right? Mm-hmm. Better than nothing, right? Yeah. Okay, now think about this. Technology is shrinking at 100% in 3-dimensional volume every decade. That means, Adam, when that kid is ready to go to prom at 17 years old, that thing's going to be the size of a postage stamp and will be basically invisible. That's happening today. That isn't the Star Trek Voyager future. That's right now. Let's take another example. Let's say somebody had Parkinson's disease, right?
If you would, try to remember to talk right in here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can move that mic anywhere you want to. If you pull it up to you, because I don't want to miss any of this, man. It's great. It's great sound, man. So you say I'm up into it like I'm Barry White.
Okay, all right. I really, this is not my, like.
You're killing it right now. You are killing it right now, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Another example might be Parkinson's disease, right? You know, you're shaking all over the place. It's a debilitating, tragic disease. 2 decades ago, what are we doing about it? I'm sorry. Here's some medication to reduce the tremors and, you know, let's try and ease your way out of existence in a less horribly and not so undignified way. Today, okay, we can actually install a computer chip in the person's brain. It's the size of a pea. And while that person is sitting in Starbucks on their laptop next to us while you and I are having a discussion, they can download new updates to their chip and wirelessly upload them into their chip. That's not, wow. Again, that's not, you know, Star Trek. That's not Star Wars. That's not some fantasy. That shit's happening now.
Wow.
I know. Because we're involved in New Dimensions and stem cell therapy, primarily in the joints and connective tissue, which is what you can do in America, okay? Let's take a heart attack victim, for example. So let's say you have a heart attack. The majority of those patients that have heart attacks have something second. If they survive, has something called reduced ejection fraction. What that means is I used to be able to do a 100-yard sprint, no problem. Now walking from my car to my front door is like an act of God. Okay, so the intensity and the efficiency of your heart pumping out blood to, you know, this thing called extremities and throughout your tissue is dramatically decreased. Now, eventually it leads to heart failure, and this is what people die of if they don't die of the initial heart attack. Again, what could we do about it 2 decades ago? Not too much, okay? I mean, what we could do was better than what, you know, you could do in the Revolutionary War, but it wasn't awesome, right? Today, not in America, but it is happening all over the world, we can scrape that patient's own skin cells, your own skin cells, stick them in a petri dish, inject that petri dish with 4 genes, devolve your skin cells into blank stem cells, biopsy a couple heart-healthy cells, stick those in the petri dish, watch that they replicate efficiently and properly, stick them back in the body. 6 weeks later, brand new heart.
What the fuck?
That's happening right now.
Holy shit, man.
Now, it's still in the realm of medical tourism, but it is real. It is happening.
When you say medical tourism, meaning we got to leave the country to get it done.
You got to leave the country, brother.
What happened, man? We were like the cutting edge people.
You know, that is an interesting point, and it's kind of a field from what I'm talking about, but it is a point that needs to be discussed because this is something I'm passionate about, okay? Western civilization is the beacon of hope for all of humanity, and Western civilization is what has propagated us into this miracle of the 21st century where you can get bionic limbs that have not only the form and the function of your own limbs, but actual tactile awareness. In other words, people can feel through their bionic limbs now. Okay?
Whoa. That's new for me. I haven't heard that you can act senses and nerves and all of that?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so technology is advancing at such a breakneck pace, and I'll talk about the exponential advance of technology in a second. But here's the thing. It's not that Dr. Kurzweil's predictions were 87% because he was wrong. At least 7% of the predictions he made have been prohibited from happening in America because of regulatory agencies. Now, look, a regulatory agency is a double-edged sword. We don't want to release, you know, something harmful into the public, right? So we have to be responsible. Technology is moving faster than the bureaucrats can understand it, so things are being held back. Now, my conspiracy theory friends will say that we can't fix the heart that way because it'll destroy an entire industry. Well, yeah, that's true. But Napster destroyed an entire industry and it evolved into something new, right? Mm-hmm. Netflix destroyed an entire industry, but it evolved into something new.
Functional patterns, yeah. My friend Nnamdi Aguilar is destroying a bunch of industries and it's turning to something new.
And so that's the nature of disruptive change. So, I mean, to suggest that the medical leviathan is more powerful than the entertainment leviathan, and entertainment couldn't prevent Napster from disrupting technology and creating a new paradigm. What the forum we're talking on right now, you know, is a disruption. It's a great example, right? So I don't think that that's it. I don't think it's this vast right-wing conspiracy. I think that there's some caution. Okay, I mean, listen, it's being done in Israel. I also believe in Germany, and I also believe in the friendly part of Korea, for sure. I actually am talking to some hospitals right now in Mexico and in Peru that are doing really interesting and advanced things, and we are seeking to establish a relationship with these hospitals for medical tourism for exactly those things. I mean, look, here's the thing. It all starts with the individual and it all starts with the mind. People are always saying, well, what can I do? I'm only one person. Well, look, buddy, everything all started with one person. Steve Jobs is only one person. He's affected every human on this planet, right? So it starts with you and your mental framework or your paradigm of what you believe is possible and what you believe you can pull off. That has to do with psychological health, which, you know, you're very adept at talking about, but the entertainment industry, I believe, is much more transformative than reflective. And it's not for a large period of time, certainly when I was a teenager, because I'm freaking old, man. when I was a kid, if you were a studious person, you were a geek. You were a nerd.
Right.
It was something to be ashamed of,
yeah,
because you weren't hip. You weren't cool. I mean, if you weren't Spicoli on Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you were a douche, right?
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to be your friend. So everybody wanted to be Spicoli or some iteration of that, right? Today, you have this new transformative thing like the Big Bang Theory, where now it's cool to be smart.
Yep.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, I think I tweeted the other day that attention is the new currency and competence are the new abs.
I absolutely couldn't agree more. It's so, so true. In terms of Western civilization, I think we took a hit at the end of the 20th century, man. I mean, we were just convinced that we were what was wrong with the world, that if we didn't exist, you know, everything in the world would be great. Like, for example, there's a huge movement that suggests that humans are a parasite on the living organism that is the Earth. And these genocidal maniacs, these eugenic psychopaths, want to eradicate humanity so that the Earth as an organism can blossom. Well, I think that's absurd.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right? But people get behind ideas like that. People get behind ideas like, you know, because America was incepted in the way that it was, we came over and we took over, right? It was us or them, and we chose us. We went so far as to use biological warfare on the Native Americans, giving them smallpox through blankets and everything, and we dominated the place. That somehow that equals an illegitimacy to America being the beacon of hope for the entire world. Look, nobody was alive today back then. We can't change the decisions that our forefathers made. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion do I believe that we should feel guilty about the fact that you and I and everyone listening has the ability to utilize advanced technology to bring mankind forward. And currently, the only places that I know that production of this nature is able to take place is in Western civilization. And I think that there are real concerted attempts to transform the psyche of people in general in Western civilization, but men specifically. I'm really like passionate about helping dudes out because I'm a guy. And I think that there was just an attack on men and guys.
What do you mean when you say attack?
So, okay. Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway, that smoldering hot chick, and they made a movie where she was the CEO of a company and he was the intern, right? Oh, Robert De Niro was a retired intern, right? And there's a scene in there where she's talking to her employees who are all men, or males, I should say, and they're these kind of effeminate, androgynous, hipster losers who are neurotic and unsure of themselves. And then there's De Niro, who's cut from an earlier cloth, right? And she says, how did we go in 30 years from this De Niro, typical man, to this, these guys who are apologizing for their existence, right? And I think to a large degree, it had to do with a clear-cut attack on the American psyche. If you look at programming, television programming, I should say, when TV was still black and white, there was Father Knows Best, My Three Sons. The guy knew what he was doing. Somewhere in there, a transformation took place, and the man in the sitcom, maybe for the sake of comedy, was always a bumbling idiot, and the wife knew everything, and the kids knew everything.
Married with children.
Yeah, married with
children. That's what came to my head automatically. Even cartoons, Simpsons, right? It became this doofus dad that just was a slave to the family who no one liked, and he hated them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that is an atrocious crime. But that's what the free market wants. I mean, you don't go fishing with what you like, right? You go fishing with what the fish likes. Right. And people are consuming that shit, right? People are watching that, and they're identifying with that dude and saying, oh, I'm just like him. He's a brown bagger. He's a 9-to-5er, and his family rules him. Maybe I should let my family rule me. And he's just subject to the tide of information overload that's telling him quietly and subversively, just, you know, go with the flow. Well, go with the flow is not how men are supposed to be. Men are supposed to attack, conquer, defeat, and rule. Now, you don't have to do that on an empire, country, worldwide scale, but in your world, your worldwide world, you need to do that. You need to dominate your world. And one of the things that tells you, I want to get up and I want to attack the day. When a hot chick walks by in Starbucks, you look at her and go, damn, I'm in a committed relationship and in another world, I would love to hit that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's testosterone. And your testosterone and my testosterone are definitely under attack because of estrogen mediators in the food supply that don't belong there. And estrogen, I'm going to speak in generalized terms, right? Okay, so nobody call me about a study, okay? Estrogen suppresses testosterone production. As testosterone goes down, or as estrogen goes up, testosterone goes down, okay? It is a terrible thing. First of all, testosterone's a molecule, and estrogen's a group of molecules. Now, there's three primary ones, E1, E2, and E3, estrone, estradiol, and estriol. Just generally speaking, one of the estrogens tells the body, store more fat. One of the estrogens tells the body, the next person that cuts you off in traffic, just go ape shit on them, right?
Okay.
One of them is necessary for bone density, right? But also tells the body, I'm not interested in having babies anymore, okay? Now, the reason that's relevant, besides getting fat and going haywire, is you've got to look at what is the purpose of life. Now, it turns out, Adam, there's only three ways to answer that question. One is religious, two is philosophical, three is biological. Now, the first two, your religion and your philosophy of life, these are esoteric matters of faith. They are unverifiable, they are unprovable. They are frames and social constructs of reference that we interact with each other in the world on.
Yeah.
But biologically, man, there is no question. We are here for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to replicate DNA and push that DNA, that information, across the gradient of time to some end that we do not yet know, right? But reproduction, that is the reason that we're here. And if you're ingesting something like soy milk, right, full of estrogen, that's telling you get fat, become moody, and don't feel like having sex, you're sending a signal to your DNA that you're no longer relevant. Now, if you want some real entertainment, Adam, I mean real entertainment, totally free, go to an affluent Starbucks. Hang out where you guys can hear the person ordering. And you come back and you tell me what kind of man orders a tall soy latte. Okay? I promise you, that dude started out like you and me. He liked chicks. He wanted to conquer his world. He wanted to excel in his company. He had ambitions. And now that guy's just existing. He's losing his hair, if he's not bald already. He's kind of pudgy in a soft way. Like, not like a power lifter way, but like in a soft Pillsbury Doughboy way, right? And he, you know, he's a little bit effeminate, and he's soft-spoken, and he doesn't know if he really likes chicks anymore. And he's not clear on if the girl behind the counter is hot or if the guy next to her is kind of attractive. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with the last part of my statement, but what I am suggesting is if he was born genetically to be a hunter, to be a conqueror, and because of an exposure to a chemical, natural or other, that has altered the signaling of his DNA, which has altered the presentation of his DNA, right, called the phenotype, right, through a process called epigenetics, and now he's just this docile, for lack of a better term, slave, right, that doesn't belong.
Mm.
And there are many ways that, let me address this another way. I'm writing an ebook called Crush Your Enemies, See Them Driven Before You.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about stuff just like this, okay? It has nothing to do with literally crush your enemies and see them driven before you. It has to do what's being used against us.
Mm.
What is being levied against us, whether by design or just on accident, okay? If you go and you get a bottle of water and it's not in bisphenol A plastic, and that bottle of water is being heated up and cooled and heated up and cooled and heated up and cooled in the from the manufacturing process,
right, stored
to the delivery,
and shipped,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then that bisphenol A, that plastic, leaches into the water and you drink that shit. And that is a chemical.
Damn it.
I don't know if that's BPA free or not.
Damn it, man.
But that is an estrogen. You go playing golf and you go play golf on that Roundup Ready grass that looks awesome, right? That's an aerosol chemical estrogen. You eat beans, right? Beans are nature's uterus. Life springs forth from it. It's full of estrogen, right? You're elevating your estrogen. Now,
holy shit, man. You're pointing out vegetarian approach to feminist. I mean, that's what I'm hearing right now.
I mean, look, here's the deal, okay?
Is that what I'm hearing?
No, I'm not picking on the vegetarians.
Well, no, I don't want to be vegans. Right at them, but when it was beans, when it was basically everything they're supplementing, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. So here's the double-edged sword of something like beans, right? All the health benefits they say are true. So you talk to a vegetarian, and he tells you, eat black beans because black beans are A, B, C, D, E. He's probably right. What he is failing to tell you, either by omission or design or ignorance, is that black beans are nature's second most powerful phytoestrogen in the bean community. Okay, in the bean community. So what does that mean? Okay, here's what that means. I was married to a Brazilian, so I'm going to pick on Brazilians, right? So let's say you take a Brazilian kid, and he's 7 years old, and his mom's slapping beans and ice on his plate, right? And she's elevating his estrogen, okay? Well, he's 7 years old, he's running barefoot on the beach, you know, healthy guy. So no problem. The body has a balancing act called homeostasis that raises his testosterone. Now he goes through 10 years of this. The kid's 17 years old and he's just diesel, right? Because she keeps slapping estrogen on his plate and his body keeps compensating with more testosterone. Okay? Now let's flash forward 7 more years. He's 27 now. He doesn't live with mom anymore. This little girl cooks just like mom, right? She's slapping beans and rice on his plate. She's raising his estrogen. He's only 27. His body's still balancing, right? It raises his testosterone. You look at these Brazilian people, these Cuban people, these Latin people. Before they're 30, they are just tall, dark, handsome, beautiful, sexy people.
This is true.
Right? Now, somewhere between the age of 35 and 40, a lot of them, not everybody, obviously, but a lot of them kind of fall off, right? They get short, fat, you know, just ugly, right? And you think, well, what is that? Here's what it is. Remember what I told you. The purpose of life biologically is to reproduce. Mother Nature gives you about 30 years to pull this magic trick off so that your 12 to 15 year old kids who are having kids of their own because they think we're still in the savannah chasing woolly mammoths and running away from saber-toothed tigers, they want to enjoy the resources of the tribe, so stop being so greedy, right? So the healing mechanisms that Mother Nature has blessed you with as a child, as a teenager, and a young adult, those are all shut off. The machines are still there, but the signal, like a signal like nuclear factor 2, which secretes superoxide dismutase catalase and glutathione, healing you at the speed of light, that's shut down, right? Now, once that's shut down, Mother Nature, who's playing her cruel trick on you, you start to notice, it's hard for me to wake up. I don't wake up with morning wood anymore, and blah, 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 blah. Father Time, being the cool dad, he's giving you a way out. Here's your way out. Don't worry, kid. You can make it to 148, but you got to eat organic, nutrient-dense food from mineral-dense water and walk barefoot so you could absorb the Schumann resonance of the earth and ground yourself all the time in an environment and a food supply and a drinking supply that doesn't exist anymore. That's why the 21st century, the double-edged sword of the 21st century is, yes, we're taking a bath in EMF every day. Yes, we're under more stress than our ancestors were in a day than they were in a year. But look how cool it is to live here. By the way, there's this new place called Vitamin Shop where you can pick everything up that you need. Okay? You can make different choices. Nobody's twisting your arm telling you to eat that Wonder Bread and Skippy peanut butter. Okay? First of all, bread is a whole nother subject, but there's almost no peanuts in Skippy peanut butter. It's all like palm oil and canola oil.
Ugh.
Now, let me ask you, Adam, you ever seen a canola plant?
No.
You know why? Because there ain't no such thing. Canola is an amalgam of two words. Stands for Canadian oil.
What the fuck?
Now, check this out, brother. Did you know that in Canada, the Canadian version of the FDA, whatever those Canucks call it, that they've banned canola oil for human consumption, at least in the iteration that we get it. In Canada, they use that shit for diesel fuel.
Holy shit. Okay. I remember an era in here where canola oil was the shit to use.
Dude, it's still being pushed down the throats of the American people like it's a heart-healthy oil. Nothing could be further from the truth, right? So I forgot that I can cuss here, so I'm just going to... So some fucking magic trick happens when you cross the border into Michigan, and all of a sudden this toxic diesel fuel is a heart-healthy oil. Well, that magic trick is called lobbying and marketing, okay? Now, I'm not against lobbying and marketing. I'm all for making a buck, okay? We live in a free society, for the most part, where you can do your own research. You can check my math. You can verify what I'm saying. And if after checking my math, you think you should still do canola oil, by all means, buddy, knock yourself out.
Literally.
But it is a trans fat that makes people old, fat, and die painful deaths, and nobody should eat it, right? But it's in Skippy peanut butter. I don't literally mean Skippy, but it's in a lot of peanut butter, right? So in any event, what I'm suggesting is that it's important that a person do your own research, utilizing this new thing called Google, utilizing, you know, databases like PubMed, which almost anyone can get access to, greenmedinfo.com. And you know, if that's too, you know, sciencey for you, start with somebody like Dr. Mercola on Mercola.com. That guy gives out really good information in a very bite-sized, palatable way for the non-science-based person, right? May I plug myself?
Oh, please.
Oh, so please I have an anti-aging clinic in Winter Park, Florida called Revolution Medical. And it's Revolution Medical Weight Loss and Wellness because weight loss is the gateway drug to anti-aging, I like to say. And I also have a YouTube channel, which is RX Evolution, like RX Evolution Medical, and maybe we could figure out technologically how to share that with your viewers. I've only got 3 videos on there because I just started it, but I'll be giving out free content just like what we're discussing here to help inform people who want to improve yourself for whatever your own reasons are. And again, I keep going back to that. Of all of the things that a person could do to improve your situation, starting with your mind is the most important thing. Yeah. You've got to have the spark, the genesis, that you deserve this. You deserve to feel better. Do you really think that you have to go quietly into the night? Do you really think you have to go down without a fight? Because that's what we're being told. We're being told that we shouldn't be assertive. You should just chill. You should just relax. You just take a back seat. Just mollify these people.
Meditate on it.
Yeah, meditate on it. Listen, yeah, I'm going to meditate with my baseball bat, okay? That's how I'm going to meditate, all right? I mean, look, we're designed to be hunters, and men thrive in an environment of challenge and risk.
Yes.
Okay?
I would agree.
Yeah, and when you get this message from all over the place, you know, oh, you know, it's kind of dangerous, I don't know. Hey, the guy who climbed Mount Everest, people died before him. That dude was a beekeeper. He wasn't like some geologist that knew how to climb mountains. He was like, no, fuck it, I can do that shit. I'm going to take that bitch down. And he did that shit.
Yeah.
You know why? Because he said, I can. He had no evidence he could do it. Roger Bannister, I think his name is, the guy who first broke the 4-minute mile. Very sophisticated, very talented, journal after journal after journal, scientist after scientist after science, physician after physician after physician. It can't be done. Humans physiologically cannot break the 4-minute mile. 1 year after he broke it, over 10,000 people broke the 4-minute mile, including high school kids, because somebody set a precedent and people realized, I can do this. So, you know, for your listeners, you know, specifically since we're talking to them, look, it doesn't matter to me if you come to my anti-aging clinic. I'd love it because, look, man, I like money just as much as the next guy, but I'm here to help you achieve your goals, whatever your goals may be. But if you don't come to me, you need to find somebody. You need to find somebody who can tell you, who can look you in the eye. Yeah, man, you're in your 5th decade of life and your shit don't work and you need 12 hours sleep. You're knocking out after dinner and you're getting fat and you don't know why. And all of these man horrors that are happening, right? That's not supposed to happen. So let's take a look at your diet. Let's take a look at your medication. Let's take a look at your nutritional supplementation, if you're even taking any, right? And let's see how we can modify that so that you can experience the frame of reference of life that you deserve. I can tell you right now, I'm really going after CEOs and business owners. Why? Because you, me, and all of them have worked 3, 4, 5 decades to achieve this level of business success, to achieve this level of financial success, and now I'm motherfucking tired.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what if, just think about this, Adam, what if you can have all the financial success you enjoy now, all of the business success, all of the connections, all of the everything, in your 5th decade of life, or your 4th decade of life, or your 6th decade of life, but all the energy of your 2nd decade of life. That's what anti-aging medicine is all about, brother. So I know I'm talking a lot. I'm sorry.
No, please don't be. I'm just enthralled at the cognitive rampage. That is a serious cognitive rampage.
Well, thank you, man.
I'm just sitting back trying to take it all in. If I had a million questions, I think I'd be asking them. I don't think I'm on your cerebral level in that world.
Oh, come on, brother.
But, I mean, well, I don't do that every day. But, I mean, there's so many places for me to even think about the next question. I mean, between somebody's, you know, mental state of the give up, the mental state of, well, I can't change the world, all, you know, gravity problems, you know, I can't do anything about it. I'm going to get older anyway. There's so much cop-out that seems to be happening. And, you know, I want to know a little bit more personally.
Sure, man, sure.
What brought you here? What, I mean, I heard you say you were a Marine. What right. What was your life like, maybe, you know, a run through that brought you to this point?
Thank you for asking. It'd be my pleasure. So, yes, I was in the Marine Corps. I'm a Filipino. And in the Philippines, in the 20th century, you either went into medicine or you went into the Navy. My family has both. All the men in the family are in the Navy. All the women are in medicine. Now, there's some guys in medicine, too. But for the most part, that's the way the ball bounced, okay? I grew up with a mother who is a board-certified internist and one of the smartest people I know. And because I grew up around all of these really high-level intellectual people, I thought I was the dumb kid because I couldn't conceive or I couldn't deploy cognition at the velocity that the people around me could, and it affected my self-esteem. And you know how some people are really good at a subject, but they can't teach a subject?
Yeah.
That's almost everyone in my family. So nobody could show me what my learning style was. So I went all the way through high school thinking I'm the dumb kid. Right?
That belief is powerful.
Yeah, that was a self... I was making identity statements. Man, I am stupid. I am an idiot. I cannot learn, right? And those self-conclusions are hypnotizing you from within, your identity statements. And my identity statements were self-defeatist. I went through my first year of college, and in the first semester, I was like, man, I can't do this. I need to do something. I need to change my whole world. And I was thinking about it, and I was driving around on a Saturday night. This is before cell phones and everything. And I came home at 3:30 in the morning. And on a Saturday night, my mom comes out, and she says very reasonably, hey, you know, kid, if you're going to be out past 3 a.m., could you do me a favor? Could you call me from a payphone? That's how long ago this was. And just let us know that you're not dead in a ditch. And I thought that this was just an absurd violation of my human rights. And I just lost my shit. And I'm like, listen, lady, if you don't back the fuck up off me and just give me my space, you know, here's what my space was. The house I didn't pay for, the car I didn't pay for, the insurance I didn't pay for, the college education I didn't pay for. You know, just spoiled little idiot, right? I'm going to join the United States Marines. Well, my dad, who was a 23-year naval veteran, he gets in the conversation and says, listen, tough guy, you want to join the Marines? I'll drive you down there tomorrow. I said, fuck you. I don't need you. I know where the recruiter's office is. And I drove down there myself, and I waited till sunup. I waited till that dude showed up at the office. I was the first guy in the door. I think he thought I was a serial killer because I went to I had the benefit of a private school education my whole life. I crushed his pretest. He said, you could do anything you want. What do you want to do? I said, I don't know. Just pick something. He goes, no, man, no. You got to throttle back a little bit. You got to pick a technical thing. And he gave me a technical thing. And then I joined the Marines. I was in for almost 6 years. I got my first combat action ribbon before the end of my first year in the fleet. I had my second combat action award with Desert Storm. And I came back, obviously.
Thanks for the service, man.
It's a pleasure.
So you ended up picking front line.
Yeah, I didn't. Every Marine's a rifleman. There's less than 200,000 Marines almost at any given time. Every Marine's a rifleman. So, and you assume this title, Marine. You don't join the Marines. You become a Marine.
Yeah.
And it changes you psychologically. Now, their hypnosis, their psychological breakdown and rebuilding of you is very, very proficient. I was a little spoiled turd, and they just turned me from a shit bird into an eagle. I mean, it's an amazing thing, program that they've got. I got out of the Marines very happy about my service, about being free, so to speak, and I decided to go to pre-med. I was in pre-med, and I was driving around.
Looks like it built you the confidence to believe that
yeah,
you could do that.
Yeah, it certainly did. One of the reasons was I was exposed to other people that weren't doctor's kids. I was exposed to other people who didn't have a private school education, right? And I would listen to them, to my peers, and I would realize, man, I'm not the idiot. I actually am just as smart as these people. And in some cases, maybe I have a better insight in some areas. And
isn't it amazing how a belief can just change like that? We change a belief and our whole life changes.
I think, is it Max Planck who said, change the way you look at something and your whole world changes? So in any event, after the Marines, I was at college, and they didn't have a really good deprogram. It was like, you know, Monday you're in Desert Storm and Tuesday you're back in the world. And a kid cut me off in traffic, and I just lost my shit. And I chased him through the campus. And then about 45 minutes into this, I realized this is not normal behavior, and I need to do something about this. And so I joined a judo club, and it was a great controlled violent outlet for me. It channeled, you know, my energies. But then one day a kid flipped me on my back, and I actually hurt my back. So I went back home. I went to my mom, board certified internist, and said, hey, can you fix me? And brace yourself. She gave me Motrin. And shockingly, and I hope your viewers and listeners are sitting down, it didn't work. And so
a broken back Motrin didn't work.
So as fate would have it, my Uncle Dan was an orthopedic surgeon. You know, this is a guy that was at my baptism. He shot an MRI of me and he said, "Hey, Greg, you know, you screwed the pooch. I'm going to have to do surgery on your back." And this is a guy that was at my baptism, and he would have done it for free. He had no fiscal motivation to do it. He just believed, based on his training and his experience, that the proper move on this kid was surgery, right? I said, "Okay, I'm going to take it under advisement," and I left in just a panic. I drove around for a couple hours, and I had always heard horrible things about chiropractors and that they're just the devil, but I knew they did something with backs, right? And three doors down from my family, there was a chiropractor. And I fucking reconned into his office. I snuck in like a man possessed. I went right up to the front desk. I said, "I got to go in the back right now." I think that I must have looked like a serial killer because I was in all pain and I was sweating and I was probably dirty and my eyes were probably bulged from the pain. And she goes, "Okay, hang on." And she brought the chiropractor out. It was this huge lumbering umber hulk of a man. And he brought me in the back. And he asked me what the problem was, and I told him, and I said, "I hear you guys do something with backs. Is that true? Because I'm an idiot, and I don't know what they do." And he goes, "Yeah." And, you know, this is in the 20th century. He didn't take my license. He didn't make me fill out paperwork. He didn't have me fill out a consent form. He just threw me on this torture chamber chair that I'd never seen in my life. And I started to panic. I started to think, "I've made a big mistake. This guy's an idiot. He didn't shoot an x-ray. He didn't ask for an MRI. And as I was conceiving of an excuse to leave, he put his finger right on the epicenter of my pain through my shirt. And he said, "Is this where the pain is?" And I said, "Yes. Can you do something?" And very, very legitimately, he said, "I don't know, but I'm going to give it a shot." Gave me my first adjustment and asked me to stand up. I stood up and he said, "Look, that's enough for today. I'll have you come back in 3 days and you should feel better." I said, "You know what, dude? I feel better now. Are you a doctor? Because I'm a moron." And he showed me a chart of chiropractic versus medicine. And that's what got me into complementary alternative medicine. And that's what led me to rejuvenative medicine. That's what led me to integrative medicine. It was that one moment. The realization that other systems of healthcare have their place. Now, I didn't stop and imagine that everything can be cured with an adjustment, or everything can be cured with an acupuncture needle, or everything can be cured with Vioxx. But in the Venn diagrams of those medical systems, there's overlap and there's synergy. And in the 21st century, you should absolutely deploy them. I mean, what are you thinking? You're going to go to your doctor and ask him, "What do you think of my testosterone level?" First of all, he's not going to check it. If he does check it and you're in your fifth decade of life, he's going to likely tell you, "Oh, you're within normal limits." Well, dude, within normal limits sucks, okay?
Okay.
Let me give you just a kind of an overview. Imagine that there was a scale between 300 and 1300, okay? Mm-hmm. So if that's your testosterone, when you're in your 20s, your scale is probably between 800 and 1200. You're feeling amazing, right? It drops as we age, but not because just we're aging, but because of environmental toxins like estrogen, right? Okay. So you get to your fifth decade of life and they create this within normal limits, which is a bell curve of the vast nature of men in America, and it's in the 300s, right? Well, 300s is just above dead, dude. So why are you operating at that? Because it's normal? Why can't you just let yourself be optimal? I'm not talking about super physiologic steroid psycho levels. I'm talking about within the framework of accepted medical limits, operate at optimal levels, by getting testosterone replacement therapy, utilizing something like testosterone pellet therapy, so you don't have to inject yourself once a week, or you don't have to go to a doctor once a week to inject. Not using creams, because creams have secondary and tertiary side effects, and finding a doctor that resonates with you. Look, you come to me and we hit it off, that's awesome. But look, I'm not for everybody. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. There's plenty of doctors out there for you who, when you speak with them, they're going to click, and you're going to feel that connection. And when you feel that and you know this is the right guy and you do your due diligence and investigate, we would be humbled and honored to help you achieve optimal results utilizing strategies like hormone replacement therapy.
How does hormone therapy work? What is hormone replacement therapy? How does that work in testosterone replacement therapy? What are the methods for this?
So testosterone is a hormone, Okay, and humans are not identical as certain groups would have you believe. Men and women don't just have different plumbing. We're different from A to Z. So as an oversimplification, the androgen group, the testosterone group called androgens, is what make men awesome. And the estrogen group is what make people effeminate. Okay.
Right.
Women tend to have more estrogen because they have different biological needs. They also have more progesterone. They have different thyroid levels than we do. So there's a whole litany of things, and they're all interrelated, and you got to look at them all. But fundamentally, when you look at a guy's hormone health, you want to evaluate where is his baseline most foundational hormone, and that's testosterone. And then you want to see what's binding is testosterone. So there's free and bound testosterone. Free is the part that your body can use. You look at sex hormone binding globulin, other hormone precursors like DHEA, DHEAS, a whole litany of things. And this chemical soup, this hormonal soup, is part of that mental framework that operates behind your consciousness that says, that's a hot chick and I want to hit that, or I really appreciate that purse she's wearing today. I should ask her where she purchased it, because maybe that would be a good deal. It's hormones. Now, it's nutrition, it's overall health, it's many things, but hormones are one of the primary things, almost the tip of the spear, that says, I'm a man, and I'm going to make this shit happen today. I don't give a damn if everyone in my family and everyone in my sphere of influence that said my idea is stupid. I believe in it, so fuck you.
Fuck them. Fuck, I love that shit. That's, you get me hype, man.
Oh, thanks, brother. That's testosterone, man. That's where it's at. And when that shit drops, then people still do it. Guys still do it. I run into these guys all day. They're in their fifth decade of life. They own a company, and they say the same fucking sentence. I go, how are you doing this, man? They go, I'm just pushing through. It's all willpower. I didn't used to have to be like that, but now I do. Well, that's because testosterone levels, for among other reasons, but your testosterone levels have dropped, right? But you know what it takes, because see, you did it as a teenager, 20s, 30s, 40s, right? Now you're just like, fuck it, I gotta get up and I gotta go make the donuts.
We just get in that routine. We put the horse blinders on, yeah. And we just go and go. You're actually getting questions, man, from awesome. People on Facebook. Tim Drugan, he asked about maca root.
So maca is an awesome root, and it has been shown in clinical studies to help men elevate base hormonal levels, including testosterone. There's different kinds of maca, red maca, black maca, etc. I think that a discussion of maca root is an entire podcast on its own.
Okay.
Suffice it to say, there's really, really great sources of information so that you can learn what supplements will help you increase your androgen profile and testosterone. I like Lost Empire herbs. I think they're good. They used to be called Superman herbs. That's when I really liked them. Check them out. Maca is, generally speaking, a fantastic adjunct to a well-conceived hormone strategy.
Yeah, they're basically saying thank you now for the question. They weren't sure they had heard that and brought that to you. What's the newest thing in anti-aging? What's like, or maybe not here yet, mm-hmm. or something, you know, that's just we're hoping for, that the industry's going, maybe if we're lucky, you know?
I'm sorry. I meant to tell you what the rest of the bridges of immortality were. So bridge three is the merging of our biology with our technology at the cellular level, cochlear implants, Parkinson's implants, etc. The holy grail is bridge number four, and that is going past the layer of the cell into the nucleus at the level of the DNA and extending telomeres. Telomeres, which is talked about in the movie Mr. Nobody about immortality.
I tried to watch that movie.
So boring.
It fucking tripped me out for a minute. I was watching it going, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, it's like a scientist went on an acid trip and he said, I'm just going to throw all this funky shit that I know in a way that doesn't make sense to anyone.
Yeah, I had to turn it off. I'm like halfway through it, I think, maybe not even. I was like, all right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. So basically you have a chain, a ladder of DNA, and at the end of the ladder of DNA is a ribbon, and on the ribbon are these little pearls called telomeres. And every time the DNA splits and replicates, a telomere falls off and you get older. And when you run out of telomeres, the game's over. The velocity with which your DNA splits and the velocity with which you lose telomeres has to do with, number one, how old you are, but how much damage have you taken along the path of the gradient of time? And when you go super subcellular into the DNA and you add telomeres, you actually make the person younger. And that's de facto immortality, and that's 2045. Now, I'm going to be in my 80s in 2045, and you look at a person in their 80s today and you think, well, I don't want to be immortal like that. But you remember that Justin Timberlake movie, In Time, where everybody was 25?
Awesome. Good movie.
Okay, that was an example of how telomeres would operate. Everyone would look 25. When the guy from Mad Men goes, this is my wife, this is my daughter, this is my mother, this is my sister, and they're just all smoking hot chicks that are the same age, that's what telomeres will do for us.
Well, yeah, Dr. Rhonda Patrick put out a study that she discovered. I don't know if she did it, but she posted about it, where they took the full blood of a younger mouse,
right,
and then changed out the blood of an older mouse completely, and this mouse was aging backwards.
So I think what you're talking about is the study where they took the equivalent of a 70-year-old mouse and reverted him to a 17-year-old mouse.
That's it.
So that exists. That's a real thing. That actually happened.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you something, Adam.
All right. And
we're not mice, but if you can do that shit in a mouse, we are a cunt hair away from doing that in a person.
No shit.
Okay?
A lot of people say that. I watched that post and people were commenting, oh, they're rats, we're humans, we're way more complex, etc.
Look, I'm going to tell you that the majority of our clinical... Our medicine is based on rat studies. I mean, come on. Look, you know, science is science, and science has accepted nuances of testing and vetting different things, and one of them is animal testing, right? And again, converting what we can do in a rat or a mouse to a person isn't an immediate leap, okay? But it's identified as a possibility. And what's more important, it's identified as a high statistical probability, okay? When you think about this and you look at the forward-thinking predictions since 1986, almost 9 out of 10 falling on the year of the prediction, right? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then hey, 2045 is a thing, okay?
Right.
So while you're bridging to 2045, now you think about what your dads could do and your grandfathers could do. They're getting old and their friends, you know, they go to the bar and they tell their friends, oh, my shit don't work, I can't get it up anymore. And they all laugh at him and say, well, you're just getting older, man. That's just the way it is. No, it isn't. Not today. Not today. Today, we got medications that give you a two-hour hard on you and lay down the law. Okay? That's what I'm talking about, okay, buddy? That is legit medicine, okay? Why wouldn't you take that? I mean, let's just say, okay, because this could never happen in reality. You got a guy, falls in love, get married, raises a family, achieves everything he wants in life, wife leaves him for the pool boy, lives in the house that he's paying for, right, with this turd watching his kids. You're destitute,
yeah.
Okay? You build yourself back up, okay, and you've rebuilt your fortune, you've rebuilt your empire, you got all this money, but you're in your 50s, right? Now, you're an attractive guy, and we live in the 21st century, and ageism really isn't a thing, and a lot of people who are in their third, fourth, or fifth decade of life are dating chicks in their second or third decade of life, right? It happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a thing, right? People are doing it. Now, let's say you got a 22-year-old girlfriend. You need to lay down the law on this, right? And you want to because you want you guys to both have a great sexual experience. Okay. In the 90s, what do we have? Viagra, right? Awesome. Great invention. Wonderful. All of its analogs, Cialis, etc.
When you say it's analog?
Analog means medications similar to.
Okay.
Right? But today, there are other strategies that you can do. Now, let's go back to stem cell therapy. There's a guy named Dr. Charles Reynolds. You can look him up. He's the guy who created the vampire facelift. He's a little bit of a maverick.
Somebody was talking to me about that at Red Carpet Monday, actually.
So PRP, or the vampire facelift, is when you pull your own blood, you spin it down, you get that golden part that's full of growth factors. You pull it out, you add some calcium gluconate to it, you inject it back into connective tissue, you heal them, right? Got very popular in orthopedic medicine for tendons and ligaments tears because we didn't have like real stem cell ability when PRP first came out just not too long ago, right?
Yeah.
So this guy, Dr. Reynolds, he went into the studies and he figured, you know what, if I can do this in joints, I could do it on the face. He created the vampire facelift. It was popularized by Kim Kardashian on her E! Network, right? Show, whatever it is. So this guy, Reynolds, he's a little bit of a cowboy, a little bit of a maverick, cool dude. I like him, very personable on the phone. Like, you can actually get a talk with him. He goes into the studies and he says, you know, if this works on ligaments, tendons, joints, if it works on face, you know, this is all just connective tissue. I bet it'll work on my dick.
Hmm.
So in the office one day, he spins his blood, pulls it out, yanks it, injects his junk, and he creates the pee shot.
What?
Yep. So here you are, through no fault of your own. You're in your fifth decade of life, and you're going through all this trauma for 5 decades, right? And, you know, even perfect hormone health, it's not going to correct structural damage, right? He injects the into the penile tissue, and he restores it to a high degree.
Wow.
Creates this entire cottage industry. Then he creates something called the O-Shot for women. A lot of women report it's awesome. Now, that was crazy in anti-aging medicine for a long time. The O-Shot, the P-Shot, right?
Why? But it stops the pills, though, right? No more pills?
It's not that it stops the pills. Okay, look. Have you never met a guy who's operating perfectly but just wants to, like, really give it to his girl?
Yeah.
And says, Why not? Do you know where I can get some Viagra?
That's right.
It's not that he needs it, okay? I said he just wants, for that whatever special day,
why not?
He wants to lay it down, right? So people are using these medications like that. Now, let's say you get the
P-Shot. They're enhancers and tools.
It's an enhancement tool. Exactly right.
Why not?
So you get the P-Shot, and now this guy in his fifth decade of life is functioning in that area like he's in his second decade of life, okay? He's living it up. But would that prohibit him from taking a Viagra? No. No, it wouldn't, okay? So utilizing these optimization strategies is what we're talking about now. If that wasn't enough, because the P-Shot's awesome, okay? If that wasn't enough, now doctors even here in Orlando, like us, okay, are injecting New Dimensions and stem cell therapy, amniotic fluid, placenta tissue matrix into that connective tissue, and people are getting amazing results.
Wow.
It's amazing. Okay, so why not? We live in this era. Are you telling me that, you know, is it not, I mean, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's unfair, it's unnatural. Dude, fuck you. Let me ask you something. If, you know, the day before they create the paddles that back you to life, right? Because your twin brother didn't get it yesterday, but you have access to it today, you ain't going to do it.
Right.
It's here, man, and it's here for you.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are stuck on that. They do. Even sometimes myself, too, we get stuck on this idea that naturally leave it alone. But then we look for other ways to optimize anyway, too. You know, I mean, from even marijuana, cocaine, heroin, these things. Dr. Carl Hart, who was on the show, talked about even heroin. I mean, 15% of users of that are the ones we recognize on intervention. But many people use it as tools, enhancers, and other things and never have a problem. So, I mean, and that's most of users. So, I mean, anything like this. I don't see any issue with it, with approaching any of that. The science seems amazing to me. You got me considering being I'm a therapist now, etc. But maybe the last year or so, I've been entertaining the idea of going back to get my doctorate and what you do and been down that field. I've been looking at it. I see that way. I mean, I being Native American too, I like that side of the natural healing, the natural approaches, and I don't want to take anything away from medicine, like you say as well, because there's great things. There's great things that they can do, but no, what was it?
No, I was going to say, look, the problem in healthcare, just across the board, is if I'm in naturopathic medicine, regular medicine's the ultimate evil. Oh, those evil pharmaceutical companies, right? And if I'm in pharmaceutical medicine, I hate these weeds, beads, and seeds, you know, tree-hugging hippies, right? Well, that's just dumb.
Dude, okay? It's the same in mental health. Yeah. Social workers look at mental health counselors. We have the same degree track for the most part, except mental health counselors have more diagnosis training, more personality diagnosis training. But we even go back and forth. We're like, oh, you don't know as much as us. They're like, well, you haven't been around as long as us. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, why don't we all just work together?
Because of this one statement, Adam, you're down on what you're not up on.
Ooh.
And if you have spent your entire life looking at somebody like they're a nail, you're a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
And if your hammer is social work, then everything is a social issue. And if your hammer is orthopedic surgery, then you're a scalpel. Okay. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Like I myself, I recognize the benefit of cognitive therapy, but I don't engage in it in my practice because I didn't study it. I would send that person to a guy like you, okay? I mean, there has to be, at some point, you have to recognize, I have reached the limit of my ability to help this person. Of the specialties available, who's the most appropriate to heal this patient, to get this guy from where he is to where he wants to be? I mean, that was what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Let me see. Got some more questions. Patricia says, this may sound naive, but when this man is laying down the law, is it more mechanical for him situation, or more mechanical for him stimulation wise, where he is just an object, or he's also feeling in the, okay, so is the feeling increased too? Is it just, does it just get him hard so he can do it, or does there's an increase in feeling or
no, it's response? it's just like a normal erection.
Okay.
Yeah. Only, you know, awesome.
Yeah, at least they open up with Sandy May sound, because people don't know, right? And of course.
No, it's a good question. It's a legitimate question, yeah, because it's not like, you know, what we had in the 20th century, a guy's facing erectile dysfunction and we don't have a clue what to do, and then they install, you know, a balloon in his corpus cavernosum. And that, guys have that today, right? But for many people, way before a person, you know, ascends to that level of medical necessity, you can use things like New Dimensions and stem cell therapy and turn the ship around.
I'm gonna end with this question. Sure. And take as long as you want.
Sure, sure.
Because I know this is gonna send you on a rampage. Okay. All right. I'm the guy who's sitting at home, who is the Al Bundy guy, who has the belief that I am masculine. I have all that, except all the symptoms say otherwise.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting here going, I don't need to go to any aging stuff. I'm a man. I handle my stuff like that. There's nothing like that. And what would you say to that guy who, you know what I mean? The alpha guy who, you know, doesn't think about anything anti-aging. He's not thinking like that. He's just that old school De Niro guy, mm-hmm. you know, who's just like, this is what God made me. This is how it is. And don't touch any of this.
Yeah, I run into that dude literally every day of my life. I have a conversation with that guy. Okay, here's the deal, okay? You're drinking your Bud Light. It's full of estrogen, and it's full of liquid gluten, and it's telling you get fat, get old, and don't like girls anymore.
Holy okay? shit, you just said Bud Light is full of estrogen.
Alcohol in general.
Yeah, oh my God.
Full of estrogen. But listen, I'm not a monk, okay? Let me get this straight. When you guys see me at Red Carpet Monday, I'm going to be throwing back some small batch bourbon, okay? So what I'm saying is the regular ingestion, we were told this is totally cool and, in fact, is a desired behavior. I can drink a case of beer and you're a pussy because you can only drink a six-pack, right? That's an art of manliness, right? We believe that that makes us manly, except every one of those guys today has got a beer belly and looks like a gray-haired pregnant lady, right? Okay, so don't give me your bullshit, number one. Number two, you're eating Doritos. There's no fucking Dorito tree, dude. You think that this is the way God made you? Yeah, it is. God made you this way so that we could go out and take down a water buffalo and eat that shit in the field and drag the rest back to camp while we're all bloody and then drink out of some stream that is full of minerals and then go, you know, tackle one of the village girls. I mean, that's the way our body is, okay? That's what is supposed to happen. You're not supposed to be on your lazy boy lounge chair clicking through sitcoms on TV land and going, I still got it. No, you don't. And it's not you, man. It's what you ate. It's what you drank. It's what we smoked. It's the crap that we did in the Spicoli 20th century. It's not your fault. But what is your fault is this. You could turn it around, but you got to learn how to detox. You got to learn that you can't eat with impunity and you have to make different dietary choices. You have to take supplements because you could eat the most raw, the most organic, the most pristine fruits and vegetables that were grown on the side of a Himalayan mountain, prayed over by a Tibetan monk, delivered to Whole Foods by Gandhi, and that shit ain't got enough. You gotta supplement, okay? So if you're sitting there living with this delusion that your body should just do it, you're right. Your body should just do it when it's exposed to what it was programmed to be exposed to. And we are exposed to shit that we were never programmed to be exposed to. So get some help. But again, find it within yourself first. Why are you gonna do this? Because when you decide to do this, it's got to be for all your own reasons. It's not because your wife is nagging you because you can't get it up anymore. It's not because your kids are picking on you because you're fat. You got to look at you and say, fuck it. I'm done. Medicine exists today that can turn me back into the guy I was or at least get me close to it. Why wouldn't you want to do that? That's what Revolution Medical is all about.
Oh, I love it, man. Some people are joining on and saying, let's see. I call them supplements because they stay there. I love somebody's, thank you for letting me know how to deal with those kind of guys because they work with them every day.
Oh, thanks.
Plug everything you want.
Well, again, we're relatively new. We're Revolution Medical in Maitland, Winter Park, Florida. We're at 7-Eleven North Orlando Avenue in Suite 203 in the First Colony Bank Building, across from the Mercedes dealership, because I like to be around luxury, and next to the Sunrail. If you give us a call at 407-636-5791, speak with the office manager, Jasmine, say that you heard me on the Cognitive Rampage, we will waive our initial consultation fee of $199, and we will give you a free consultation courtesy of Adam Lowry and the Cognitive Rampage.
Thanks, man. Shit, my pleasure. That's awesome.
We also have a YouTube channel that's only got 3 videos on it because I just opened it up about maybe 10 days ago. And I think it's cool, but it's basically me talking all the smack that I've been talking during Adam's show here. And it's RX Evolution Medical. RX, like prescription, RX Evolution Medical. And you'll see me on there. And that's pretty much it. I am just, again, Adam, humbled and honored that you would bring me on your show, and thank you so much. And I really love your mission. I love the mission of Cognitive Rampage. I think that the tip of the spear in a person in general, in a man specifically, improving your condition begins and ends with the brain. And you got to fix that shit before you come see me.
Mm, man, that is a Cognitive Rampage and a half. You'll come back, yeah?
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. It's definitely our pleasure, man. Definitely our pleasure. Thank you. I appreciate it. I probably next time I'm going to have a million questions. I'm going to rewatch this and listen. But blew me away, man. I'm sitting here stuck like, wow, you definitely need to be on YouTube doing your stuff, man.
Oh, thank you.
You definitely do. If not a podcast, man, if you ever want help setting it up, let me and Steve know.
I do want help setting it up, and I would be humbled and honored if we could collaborate on that, because I think that the mental component of men's health, of people's health in general and men's health specifically, is the most widely ignored component. It is the most widely ignored component. I have an entire rant on it's going to be my longest video on how it begins with your state of mind, and you've got to decide.
Mm. That is beautiful, man. I've enjoyed this thoroughly.
Likewise.
Thank you, man. And we'll see you next time when you come on, yeah?
See you next time. Thank you so much.
All right, brother.
Thanks, man.
On Facebook. Yeah, what's up, y'all? I hope you guys got some out of that one. Holy shit. That was killer, man.
That was so much fun. I was a little nervous.